right, good morning, auditorium class. It's so good to see you. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Last week we started a series entitled How to Study the Bible. I was a sophomore in college and I took a class that changed my life. All throughout my teenage years and of course my freshman year of college, I had been reading God's Word every day, but to be honest, my personal devotional life just wasn't yielding the fruit that I hoped it would. While I was in that class, it was called Bible Study Methods, I learned some tools that greatly aided my study of the Bible, that taught me how not to just come to church and glean from the results of someone else's study of the Bible, but how to get in God's Word and get some things that would really help me myself. Every Christian needs to know how to feed their own souls, and that's impossible without the Word of God. So I developed this series, it's a 7-week series, to try to give you some of the tools that I've been given that help me in the study of the Bible. Listen, we all have the same book. We all have the same Holy Spirit who wants to bring that book to life for us and illuminate us. And if we can be given some very practical tools, I'm convinced that every Christian can learn to study the Bible in a transformative way. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. Now, I spend a lot of my time trying to convince people to read the Bible. And if you've ever tried to convince another person to read the Bible, they've probably countered you with this excuse, but I don't like to read. Anybody ever told you that? The person that told you that was not alone. According to a recent study by the Pew Research Center, a quarter of American adults have not read a single book in the last year. As in, they have not cracked a paperback, fired up a Kindle, or even hit play on an audiobook. The number of non-book readers has nearly tripled since 1978. In 1978, Gallup found that 42% of adults had read 11 books or more in the last year. 13% of those folks said that they read more than 50 books in a year. But today, Pew finds that just 28% of people read 11 books in 1 year. I'm telling you to tell you this, our culture is experiencing a dramatic shift away from reading. Dr. Howard Hendricks notes, in the past 100 years, our culture has shifted from a words-based society of readers to a visual-based society of viewers. Smartphones, social media, streaming video are occupying more and more of our time, and fewer people than ever are actually picking up a book and reading it. Now, I think we can all look around and see the negative effects that's had on our culture. Effects like shortened attention spans. You ever tried to get a millennial to have longer than a 30-second conversation with you before they check their phone? It's difficult. Another negative side effect to not reading is shrinking vocabularies. We use dramatically less of the English language than we even did 50 years ago. But I think the most negative side effect to our culture's distaste for reading is that it has created a new breed of Christians that believe taking the time to read God's Word is no longer necessary for a growing relationship with God. Many Christians believe they no longer need to read the Bible, and they don't need to take the time for it. And if they do, their reading skills are so diminished, they struggle to focus on the passage they're reading and to read it with comprehension and understanding. Let me ask you, have you ever been reading your Bible in the morning? You got up to do your daily reading. You get into it about 15 minutes, and then you ask yourself, do I have any idea what I just read? We've all been there before. So what I want to help you with today is I want to teach a lesson entitled How to Be a First-Rate Bible Reader. If you're going to study the Bible, that starts with reading it. How can we be a first-rate Bible reader? And I want to give you 8 suggestions this morning, and we'll move quickly through all of these. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. God is speaking to Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Did you know that that is the only time in the King James Version that the word success is used? The only way to have a successful Christian life is to learn to read, to meditate upon, and then to obey the Word of God. So here are 8 suggestions for being a first-rate Bible reader. Number 1, read strategically. Read strategically. As someone has well said, we need to plan our work and work our plan. Someone else has said that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Can I ask you this morning, what's your plan for reading God's Word this year? What's your strategy for filling your mind with God's truth? Our church has given you a Bible reading plan that will allow you, if you'll do a little bit every day, to read through half of the Old Testament this year and all of the New Testament. We give you a book on Vision Day that says Vision Day on it, Worth in the Word. And there is a daily Bible reading schedule. You open it up to the first few pages, and every day you can find where our church family is and check that box. If you miss a day, and probably everybody in this room is going to miss at least one day to sickness or being in the hospital or something, you can go back and pick it back up. We've tried to give you a small enough section of Scripture to where if you read it straight through, it would only take you 5 to 10 minutes to read through the passage. Now, as we go through the next several weeks, I'm going to give you some tools that I hope will turn that 5-minute study into a 55-minute study, but that's a good place for everybody to start. Now, if you didn't get one of these books, we'd like you to stop by the bookstore on your way out and pick one up. If for some reason you lose it, you'll also notice that in your bulletin, there is a weekly reading schedule every week. So you may not have the book, but if you could pick up a bulletin every Sunday, and then if you lose the bulletin, you can download it from the website. If you lose this book and lose the bulletin and you can't download it from the website, I can't help you. I'm sorry. We want to help you this year to read strategically. Make a plan. Get in God's Word every day. Have something you're working through. We ought to read strategically, but secondly, we ought to read thoughtfully. We ought to read thoughtfully. Deuteronomy 17 is one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. In that chapter, God issues a list of requirements for potential kings over Israel. One of those requirements is found in verses 18 through 20. You should have it on your handout. It says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of the kingdom, that he, the king, shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. To the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." And God said, one of the requirements for being king over my people is that you're required in the early days of your kingdom to handwrite your own copy of the law. That's the first 5 books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He was to handwrite it so God would ensure that every king had been through every word of the Old Testament law. Then he was to keep that handwritten copy with him at all times. And he was to read from it each and every day carefully. It would only be by the careful reading and obedience to God's word that the king would be the kind of king that God wanted his people to have. I'm afraid that many of us read God's word like we read a newspaper. That we read it like we read a blog. We're just kind of reading through to check our box and move on to something else. We should not read God's word that carelessly. You know how we should read God's word? Like an architect reads blueprints. Carefully, with attention to detail. We ought to read it like a pilot reads a flight manual. How many of you would be comforted to know that a pilot that's flying your plane had studied every word of the flight manual inside and out? I would be too. Read it like an architect reads a blueprint, like a pilot reads a flight manual, like a doctor reads a medical chart. I wonder if any of you have ever had this experience. You walked into the hospital or to a doctor that was not your own, and you were prescribed medication that counteracted with other of your medication because your doctor didn't take the time to read the chart. You ever been there? We ought to read God's word carefully, or mistakes can be made. Do not allow your mind to shift into neutral when you pick up the Bible. Read your Bible like your life depends upon it, because it does. It does. One of my favorite illustrations of careful reading is a man by the name of Frank Morrison. Frank Morrison lived in the early part of the 20th century, and he was a journalist. He set out one day to disprove the teachings of the Bible. And he was going to focus primarily on the gospel records. He believed that if he could examine the Bible like a journalist, read it more carefully than the average Christian reads it, that he could find several contradictions and disprove the claims of Jesus Christ. Well, you know what happened. As he got out a pen and a piece of paper, started studying God's word carefully, he came to determine that not only could he not disprove the claims of Jesus Christ, but that the Bible actually proved the claims of Jesus Christ. And sometime during his careful study of the Word of God, Frank Morrison, the skeptic, became a Christian. And he wrote a book that was powerfully used in the early part of the 1900s called Who Moved the Stone? An Apologetic Defense of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Careful, thoughtful reading is transformational reading. It'll change your life. Now let's do a test this morning, shall we? I want to see how good you are at reading and comprehending. I've given you on your worksheet a little exercise called dry ice. And I want to give you 30 seconds of silence, and I want you to read through it. At the end of 30 seconds, I'll tell you to stop. And then we're going to answer those questions, true or false, without looking to the paragraph that you read. And I see some of you are already cheating. On your mark, get set, go. I should have downloaded the Jeopardy music. You got it. Five, four, three, two, one, stop. Okay? Now, you go ahead and answer those questions. Number one, dry ice is made from water, but because it is specially made, it does not melt. True or false? True or false? The first dry ice, and don't share your answers. This is not a group project today, okay? The first dry ice was manufactured in the 1950s. True or false? Dry ice has more uses than ordinary ice. Dry ice is not as cold as ordinary ice. An artificial fog can be made by passing steam over dry ice. All right, class, let's look at the answers. Here's the key. Number one is false. Number two is false. Number three is true. Number four is false. Number five is true. Now, we won't ask everybody, but how many got a 100% on your quiz today? That's good. That means you are a thoughtful reader. And I want to encourage you, when you're reading through the Bible, take careful note of the details, the names, the places. Every word in the Bible is a God-picked word, and it's there for a purpose. So read it thoughtfully. Not only should we read it strategically and read it thoughtfully, we ought to read it repeatedly. When you're going through your Bible in the morning, the first reading of a passage is like flying over a piece of property at 30,000 feet. I'm going to tell you, nobody gets to the bottom of a passage of Scripture on the first reading. This morning, I'll preach from Genesis chapters 6 through 8 on the life of Noah. I have read those chapters in my study this week, even with the busy conference going on, 10 to 15 times. You're never going to get to the bottom of a passage on the first reading. Read it repeatedly. You say, if you read a passage repeatedly, the same chapter two or three times, or maybe even 10 times, won't it be repetitive? Not if you'll use your imagination. I want to give you some suggestions for reading the Bible repeatedly without it becoming repetitive. First of all, read the entire book in one setting. Now, that may be hard for the book of Psalms, but most other books in the Bible can be read very quickly in one setting. Certainly all of the New Testament can be. Did you know that to read the Bible from cover to cover would only take the average reader 71 hours? And I've told you before, that if we spent as much time reading the Bible as we do on media, we could read through the Bible in a month and a half. Isn't that incredible? Many of the smaller books of the Bible can be read in as little as 15 to 30 minutes. Reading the entire book at one time will help you to see the author's flow of meaning. It will help you to see a beginning, a middle, and an end to the book. And if you'll read it all in one time, you will have a much greater understanding of it than if you just read it one chapter at a time. Try sometime reading an entire book in one setting. Then, start at the beginning of a book. I think one of our problems in our devotional life is that many times we turn to a good book like My Utmost for His Highest or Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we pick out one little verse to study for the day. Did you know that that's not how God intends for us to study His Word? God intends for us to study His Word line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you're going to get a really good understanding of a particular chapter, you really need to start studying that chapter by going to the beginning of the book. Start at the beginning of that particular book of the Bible. Can you imagine how lost you would be if you dove into your favorite novel in the middle of the book? The books of the Bible were written as whole units, and they are meant to be studied as a whole. So start at the beginning. How about this one? Listen to it. Many of you really don't like sitting down and reading God's Word, but you wouldn't mind at all listening to it. Did you know that CD sets and audio apps for your smartphone abound? Some of you perhaps even have the old cassette tapes of Alexander Scorby reading the Bible. How many of you have ever heard Scorby read the Bible? I think that's great. I think that's a wonderful practice. Let me say this, that's not the only thing you should do, because if that's the only thing you do, you're going to think God sounds like a mad British guy. So don't just listen to the Bible, but it's a great way to supplement your study of the Bible. I've given you two recommendations there at the bottom, two apps that you can download for your smartphone, whether you have Android or iPhone. One is called Bible.is, and it gives you dramatized readings of the Bible. So actors actually go through that, and they will do a drama of that particular passage of the Bible. The other is an app called YouVersion that has an audio thing available, and both of those apps are free. Now, let me give you a word of caution. Both of those apps use other versions of the Bible, but King James is available. So leave that other stuff behind. I wish there was an app that only had King James audio, but leave the other translations behind, and you can check out those, and they will help you. Listening to the Bible changes your sensory perception from visual to audible, and it can bring a new freshness to a passage. How many of you have ever been sitting in church, and you heard a preacher read a passage and put the emphasis on a different syllable, and it opened up the meaning of that passage for you? Sure. Sometimes just taking the time to listen to someone else read it would be good. Ask your mate to read the Bible to you. And ladies, especially, ask him to read Ephesians chapter 5 to you, that part about husbands love your wives, right? Really emphasize that. And take the time to listen to it. Here's another thing you can do. Read it out loud. Reading it out loud has the same benefits that you would get by listening to it, but it also adds to that the benefit of you being able to use your eyes as you do. Reading it out loud allows you to use speech, sight, and hearing as you interact with the text, and it really will bring it to life. So read it repeatedly, and here are some suggestions to do that without making it repetitive. Now, I've given you a challenge on your worksheet. I'm going to give you some homework this week before you come back. For the next 7 days, read through the Old Testament book of Esther once per day. It's a short book. It'll only take you about 10 minutes to do that. On some days, try reading it out loud. On some days, let someone else read it to you. And as you read, keep a piece of paper and a pen by you, one that you can use for all 7 days, and make observations about the story. After the week is over, try to reconstruct the story by telling it to someone else without reading it. You know what you'll discover? You will discover that repeated reading enabled you to master the material, and that the truths of the book of Esther will be yours for years to come. Wouldn't it be great if you could master a book of the Bible in 1 week? Take the challenge, and you can, all right? So we want to read repeatedly. We also want to read imaginatively. Now, I hate to even say this, but to many people, reading the Bible is boring. Oh, it grieves my heart to see to have a Christian tell me the Bible's boring. It grieves my heart to hear a preacher who makes the Bible boring. The Bible's not boring. Some people would much rather read the latest blog or sports story on ESPN.com than they would read the Bible. Why? I think one reason is that they never learn how to enter into the story with their imagination. Did your teacher ever tell you, put your thinking cap on? You should put your imagination cap on every time you come to the Bible. When I was a kid, my pastor did something that really helped me to read the Bible with imagination. Every once in a while, on a Sunday morning, he wouldn't be on the platform. It'd be time for him to preach, and he would come out dressed like the particular character that he was going to preach about. He'd have on Old Testament garb, and if it was David, he'd have a shepherd's staff or a sling or a stone. And he would tell that story from a first-person perspective. Now, I wouldn't recommend that method of preaching. I think that's a little too much drama in it for me. But what it did is that it helped me understand that the people in the Bible were real people with real emotions. And it helped me to climb inside their sandals. And if you get into the Bible and all you see are black letters on white pages, you have missed it. Use your imagination. Bring the book to life. What are some ways that you can help fire up your imagination? Well, here's something that I like to do. Change the setting. I think you probably ought to have a place where you consistently read your Bible. But every once in a while, it would be good for you to break outside the everyday and ordinary place and find someone else so you can get the juices of your imagination flowing. Try this sometime. Read the Psalms while sitting underneath a starry sky. Or the next time you happen to be at the lake by the water, why don't you read the account of the storm and Jesus sleeping on the boat and him stepping up to steal the storm. I'm telling you, it'll help you imagine and see the story in a way that you never had. Sometimes try changing the setting and it will bring your imagination to life. Another thing that really helps me is writing out the passage in my own words. Now, I'm not doing that to come up with an alternate translation to God's word. I'm not doing that to add or take away anything from the Bible. But I'm doing that so I can know that I really understand what's going on in that particular passage. Use a dictionary to define key words. Use the definitions from the verse or the paragraph and put them all together. If I were to ask you to write out a verse even as common as John 3:16 in your own words, it would most certainly cast new light on it. I think writing out a passage in your own words is one of the most helpful things a Bible student can do. Take a dictionary, make some definitions, write it out, put it all together, read it, and you'll be amazed how it comes to life. So read imaginatively. Here's another one that's very important. Read prayerfully. David said in Psalm 119, 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." You can have the right method and use all the right tools and miss the point of Bible study. The point, again, is not information. The point is transformation. That after I read my Bible, I would love Jesus more. I would love people more. I would be more the Christian that God has called me to be. And listen, only God can do that. How many of you know people who have minds filled with Bible information and they don't live like Jesus? They don't talk like Jesus. They don't act like Jesus. That's not the point. The point is to let the word change you. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. So as you're reading through the passage, you need to be praying, God, apply this to my life. Show me this truth. Make me more like you. Depend completely on the Lord as you read. Read prayerfully. Here's another important one. Read joyfully. Read joyfully. I think sometimes when we enter into a Bible reading plan, if we're not careful, we begin to see reading the Bible as a task to be endured instead of a privilege to be enjoyed. John 15:11, Jesus said, "These words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Can I ask you a question? Has anyone ever written you a letter, and it was obvious as you read that letter, that the purpose for them writing it was to encourage you, to strengthen you, to give you joy? Dr. Barber has written me several letters in my time as pastor here, and I could tell the only reason he wrote that letter is because he wanted to encourage me. I'm going to tell you, I like reading letters like that, don't you? I look, every time I get an envelope from Dr. Barber in the mail, I'm ready to open it up. I need some encouragement. Here's what Jesus says, class. He has given these words to us so that our joy might be full. Who in the world wouldn't want to read something on a daily basis that had the express purpose of giving you joy? It's not a task to be endured. It's a privilege to be enjoyed. Get up excited to read your Bible, excited to meet with God, excited to read God's word. Read it joyfully. David said, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Is that your experience? Does God's word mean more to you than gold? Is it sweeter than honey in the honeycomb? It can be. Read it joyfully. Then, here's a really important one. We need to read it Christologically. And I hope they didn't make this a blank in your note. There it is, Christologically. They may have, because I see some of you writing. That's a big word, isn't it? Basically, what that means is read it with Christ in view. In Luke chapter 24 on the Emmaus Road, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that all of the law and prophets in Old Testament pointed to him. All of the Bible, all of the little stories are telling one big story, the story of Jesus. So when you come to the book of Numbers, for instance, and you see the story about the bronze serpent, you need to be asking yourself, how does the bronze serpent point me to Jesus Christ? Well, if you know your Bible, you're thinking in your mind, you know, I think Jesus said something about that. Where did he say it? Oh, that's right. He said it in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said that just like the bronze serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man would be lifted up. And just like the people, all they had to do was look and live. All you have to do to be saved is to look and live. The tabernacle. All these Old Testament stories, as you work your way through each and every one of them, points to Jesus Christ if you will only learn to see them. Take the time to ask about every passage. How does this passage point me back to Christ? What does it teach me about him? Because it really is all about him. Here's the last way to be a first-rate Bible reader, and we've made good time this morning. Read obediently. Read obediently. Remember what God told Joshua? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So it's a great thing to read the Bible. It's a good thing to meditate upon it. But we read and meditate upon the Bible for the purpose of obeying the Bible. Remember what James wrote? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As you open up the Bible, there are going to be some things revealed to you. Maybe a sin you need to confess. Maybe a relationship you need to restore. An encouraging word you need to speak to someone else. Ultimately, our Bible reading is not measured by the truth we know, but by the truth we obey. One author said it this way: remember, God never leads us to do anything that is contrary to his word. But the opposite is also true. God always leads us to do everything that is in agreement with his word. So if you want to be a first-rate Bible reader, you have to read obediently. Now look, some of you are sitting out there and you're saying, Pastor Gillett, I still don't like to read. You have to. And here's why. If God wanted to, could he have revealed himself in a movie with scenes and dramatic actors and actresses? Sure he could have. If God wanted to, could he have revealed himself in music with melody? In harmony? Sure he could have. If God had revealed himself to me in a special way in movies, you know what I would do? I'd learn to study drama. I'd learn to study climax. I'd learn to study how the scenes moved and shifted. I'd learn to study the methods that the actors used to bring out the truth. If God had chosen to reveal himself in music, I'd learn to study melody and harmony and forte and staccato. But God didn't reveal himself in movies. He didn't reveal himself in music. He revealed himself in a book. You know what that means? If you want to know him, you have to read it. And I want to challenge you. Be a first-rate Bible reader. Let's pray together, may we? Father, we thank you for these very practical tools that we've been given. Help us not to leave here with just an outline and some time spent in Sunday school. Help us to take some of these truths and apply them as we're reading through the Bible this week. I pray many of the students in this class will take the challenge that they will read through the book of Esther next week and come with observations in ways that you open their eyes because they read your word repeatedly and thoughtfully and carefully and with their imaginations. Thank you for giving us this book. It really is our privilege to read it so we can know you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. God bless you.